it's hard for me sometimes when I'm cooking on the Netflix show or just in general doing content to not utilize all the stuff that the Momofuku Lab has in production or coming out soon. And it's been hard. I got to admit, there's something that has been really difficult that I can't use. And I actually had to ask Chris Ying, and I thought maybe if Chris Ying in an official capacity could ask the team at Momofuku if I could utilize a new product, maybe they would let me use it. And the answer was no. So, because I've been using a lot of it. It's great. But if you've been watching the show, you might have seen this two bottles that we've used in a couple episodes. Not too much, but it's been there. I used it for the fried chicken sauce for the first course for Seth Rogen and Ike Barinholtz. And I used it for some of the French fry dipping that may or may not made it to the camera angles for Nick Kroll and John Mulaney episode 3. So you might have seen this sweet and spicy Korean barbecue sauce. We can neither confirm nor deny their existence, but you can find other great Momofuku products at Whole Foods, Target, Kroger, and other fine retailers. Our online store is open 24/7 with a full selection at shop.momofuku.com. And if you sign up for Discord, you can find a link there in the hashtag from our friends channel to get a link for 10% off your total purchase. So check it out, and you may see some more Easter eggs about products that may or may not come to your pantry one day soon. Also, literally, we just recorded one episode where we didn't know this was going to be our last episode. And I'm reading this right now. We have just been renewed for 10 more episodes. I'm just reading the email. Dinner Time Live has been renewed for 10 more episodes. So if you missed the first episode, shame on you. You can miss the second episode. You can miss all 6 episodes. But we got 10 more episodes to ruin your algorithm. and maybe there's going to be more. Maybe there's going to be more. But if there isn't, we had a good run. And it was nice knowing you guys.
It's true, but this is great. 10 more episodes.
10 more weeks of my life being ruined.
It is true.
It's taken over my goddamn life.
It's like if they played a full NBA season, they're like, hey, let's play. I know that was exhausting. Let's do it 1.5 more times right now. So insane. But we're very happy. We're very, very happy.
Thank you, Netflix. Thank you, Uncle Ted Serranos. Thank you, Brandon, Reeg, Sahara, everybody. Jackson, Wacky Sauce. Appreciate it. And most importantly, thank you to you guys watching. And it would mean a lot to us if you're a fan of the show, this podcast. Again, same with this podcast. If you like this podcast, go tell everybody you know. But definitely for this Netflix show, if you know that people might like it, do please tell everybody you know. Post about it. It's new and it's live. So it's still new for Netflix in terms of promotion and all these things. And as much as I'm complaining about it, I'm complaining about it because I'm pouring everything I have into this fucking show. And we're grateful for it and we're grateful for your support. But tell everybody you know so we can burn more things on live TV.
Exactly.
Let's get on to the show. Oh, also, because we're polyamorous, polystreamerous, all episodes of Chrissy and Dave Dine Out are available on Hulu to stream. You can swing. If you ever want to know what it's like to be a swinger,
hey, by the way, if you have two TVs or you have two devices, yeah, you could find out what it's like to stream both these at the same time.
Yeah. Nothing was said in a horrible way there. It's only your mind that went there. But if I was just saying... if you've ever wanted to know what it's like to swing, you don't have to put a upside down pineapple out your door. You know, you don't have to put some pink flamingos on your lawn to let everyone know that you swing.
Just watch both of our shows the same
time. Just watch both of our shows. No, it doesn't have to be at the same time, you know? But after you finish one show, you can just flip channels and go over to Hulu. Or if you finish watching Chrissy and Dave Down on Hulu, you can watch it on Netflix. Or better yet, you can leave all your channels and all your devices on, watching all of our shows all the time. And it can be this streaming orgy. Let's get on to the show. Welcome to the Dave Chang Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, presented by Major Domo Media. Thank you, Latingo, as always. And we have just skirted all FCC rules, violations, and human resource protocol for the Spotify Ringer and Major Domo Media by talking about being polyamorous streamers. We did it. We were able to talk about...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Chris is legitimately crying.
Dying. Holy shit.
Because I got to say, that was pretty fucking funny. But fellas, we have 10 more episodes that have been confirmed for Dinner Time Live. Yeah, I'm scared.
We've just renewed our vows with DTL. What are you looking to accomplish in this?
I had my fingers crossed.
What are we hoping to accomplish with 10 more?
Peabody Award.
Going straight for the Peabody. We're going for one of those Peagots. Some hard-hitting journalism happening.
I'm hoping that in 40 years, when we're long gone and dead, that somebody will make a David and Chris series like Julie and Julia.
Just these pioneering, groundbreaking journalists.
Yeah. Yeah.
The modern day Woodward and Bernstein over here.
The pinnacle of live TV. Yeah. That's what I want. No, but truthfully, I have no idea what we're going to do. I have no idea what kind of guests we're going to have. Utilize our Rolodex. I don't know who else I can ask.
I mean, we have the fierce. I mean, you said it recently. It feels like every episode of the show feels like you're opening a new restaurant in our kitchen. And like, I mean... doing that 10 more times, 20 more times, 150 more times, you know.
Take it easy. I'm 10.
I'm just saying, I want to keep it difficult.
But. Somebody from our team mentioned like 30 episodes. I was like, what? You know, I have other things to do.
I know. It has been
We're like opening up restaurants and stuff. I got to put on restaurant opening hat again. We got cookbooks to write. We got LG TV channel content to make, podcasts to make. Our fledgling YouTube channel.
Yeah.
We got a lot.
I know. We have a lot to accomplish, but it feels good to be in the game.
I mean... Netflix happens to satisfy us the most right now.
Well, we still want to dabble. Let's see what else is out there. Sow some wild oats.
But I don't know. Again, I'm honored. I'm happy. I'm scared. I'm terrified. I just want us to get better at this. I want it to be less brain damage each week. I want it to be fun, more importantly. I want people to learn cooking. I want it to be entertaining for the guests that are there and for the audience watching. Overall, we need to actually improve it to the point where we can win a Peabody Award. You know, that's like to this ridiculous level. Yeah.
This is the first you mentioned of Peabody, so I guess, yeah. I got to wrap my
or we're being honored at the, you know,
Kennedy Center.
Kennedy Center. Yeah. And we're getting our awards like the ending in Star Wars, you know, after the desert, after they successfully blew up the Death Star.
Sure, man. Aim high. Let's do this. Yeah. Yes. I mean, for now, my short-term goal, we should talk about this. We blew through our TV 14 rating on the Seth and Ike episode.
Yeah, especially when Seth goes, I'm gonna fuck that caviar.
we kind of fucked it up, but
I think we need to not just open the floodgates. I think we gotta, what do you feel, Dave? I feel like we gotta try to get back on track with the no swearing. Specifically, I had friends text me to say, hey, I know this Seth and Ike episode might get a little blue. Can I watch it with my kids? And I had to say, no. Like, if you don't swear in front of your kids, you don't want them hearing curse words, you can't.
Yeah, I listen, it got a little unhinged. We'll just go back to saying shit, cock,
all the other, and dick. All the other, okay, words that are allowed, but not fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we get back to that. I mean, have your kids watched it?
No.
Yeah. The kids don't care.
Because, you know, I'm not Dashi from Aquanauts. They don't care.
It is true.
I'm not Captain Barnacle.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back for 10 more episodes. And I was doing the math. That's like 4 months almost of my life for you.
It's so much more time. It's so much more time.
It's going to take us straight to July.
We're getting pretty much. It's taking... We're pulling through multiple seasons of the year now.
I mean, after last week's menu, I don't know how I can pull it off.
This is
like every week I gotta. Sometimes I think, can I just do like a sandwich? And, you know.
Yeah. This is.
But longer. Now I set the bar too high.
This is gonna be longer than an NFL season, and dare I say, more physically taxing.
It was a real conundrum. Do I just start off low with just normal things? And yes, we're cooking with normal things. The last episode was Seth being the exception to the rule, but I think what I have to do is figure out how to get help. I think one thing that's going to change, I think, over the next 10 episodes, I'm not sure when, but I need to find somebody to help culinarily. So if you're listening, we would probably... looking to interview and hire like a, I don't even know what the title would be, you know, culinary, basically like a sous chef.
Yeah. It's not a culinary producer, because that's a job that exists in this Hollywood.
Because they're going to have to work.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to do some real
work. You know, I mean, you know, we do have people that can clean, we all clean, but like wash dishes. So for the first couple months that was really hard because we had to wash everything. We still wash a lot, but it was really hard. I need somebody that can help make menus, can talk over ideas, then can test things out, maybe execute it. The hard part is intentionally we didn't do that. I don't know how I could do that. Not that I can't work well with others. I do like working well with others. Right now, in all seriousness, I sort of have to do it and go through the pain of trying to figure out what we're going to do and then do all the mise en place myself, even if it's poorly done. Because I can talk about it in a way like that I have some kind of ownership. A lot of the ways that people might cook on a TV show or even at restaurants where you're just walking into a setup when everything's set up for you and the mise en place is done, I just don't know if I have that ability to just like connect with that immediately because I'm a bad actor. So I don't know if we ever will, but I do know that maybe getting someone to help out or a pastry chef would be nice because I don't want to make desserts anymore.
It's true. Yeah, that would be helpful, but it's not as easy as that sounds, right? I mean, to your point, it's like, I don't think you like to act and you don't like, you want to have full command of what you are serving from, not just like I made this, but like I saw this from the beginning till now, and not like I walk
in. I mean, the hardest part is we're feeding for two, sometimes maybe three people, and it seems like it's nothing. And in a lot of ways, it's a dream, right? It's a dream. I joke, it's the hardest reservation to get in America. All right. You can't ask for a table. It's invitation only, and it's for 2 to 3 people, and it just happens to be on live TV. But the reality is, if I had the, you talk to a lot of chefs and they say, what is their dream? I want to have a restaurant that's open 2 to 3 days a week.
Yep.
I have that. And that's the way I look at it, which is why I sort of have to like try to make everything, because it's for two people. It's not enough to outsource. But the difficulty is, if we were making the same menu from episode one with Steve Young and Rashida Jones, where they were having the ribolita into the salad with the warm chicken vinaigrette into the gnocchi, Parisian gnocchi, into the spatchcock chicken cooked in the Dutch baby. If I did that for the past 5 weeks, I'd be able to do it with my eyes closed. Hmm. And you would see iterations and variations on that, right? On the chicken and the sauce, and it would be all kinds of things. No doubt that the bones would stay the same, but it would have evolved quite a bit. Having to change the menu each week doesn't allow me to have that repetition. So the difference is when I make a dish, you know, for the first time, I don't have any rhythm. So it makes it really difficult. So that's the daunting task, really. And on paper, it seems like it's easy. In execution, it's really not, even though it's for two people. And I got my biggest fear really is, even though the live component is a huge, huge fear, massive, it's what the hell am I going to make week after week? Because, you know, just yesterday, you know, Chris and I for episode six, we're talking about what the hell we're going to make for episode six. And then I just had to go and do it. And that's, because of the way it's done, I only have one day to test, to practice. And in a restaurant, you have hundreds of practice sessions, you know, it's just not the same. Anyway, we're grateful. 10 episodes. And if anyone has an idea how to make it easier, I'm all ears. Anyway, we're going to do a dad's, an ass Dave, and then a quick moif. This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Great iced tea takes you somewhere else, like new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea that we have here at the Spotify Studios and drink quite a bit, where unexpectedly blackberry flavor transports you to a berry delicious place. So refreshing, you may never want to leave. You will eventually have to, though. But take your time. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf. That's 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs, scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing: keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free. All right, what do we got here?
So Chris kind of went over this a little bit. You guys said that the kids don't watch the show, but dads, what's the cursing policy in the house if they haven't broken the seal yet? Do you have a policy or a rule for the first time they do?
I'm pretty sure most kids curse without even realizing they curse by putting words together. Sometimes it's like, you know, and I'm just throwing out there. Gus is trying to say food and he says fuck, you know?
Yeah.
You take those instances out. I curse a lot, clearly. I really try not to curse in front of my kids, but there are times when you might be driving or something happens and you forget and it comes out. My oldest son now knows you shouldn't say that. He's the disciplinarian. Hey, he goes, Dad, you shouldn't say that. I said, say what? He's like, you know what you said. Sometimes he says, you know what you said. You shouldn't say that.
So I'm very good about not cursing at home, and I've always been since I was a kid. Like, I at the playground when I was third, fourth grade on, I was just fucking and shitting all over the place. Not literally fucking shitting all over the place. I was saying fucking shit all over the place. Shit. But I would get home and never swear in front of my parents. And I don't really want to. I mean, I don't have super strong feeling, but I've never envisioned a world in which like my kids and I, even when they're adults, just swear all over the house. Like that's not really our style. So I've been pretty good about that. The thing that weirds me out or bugs me or is a conundrum is I swear so much in front of all of my adult friends that they assume that I swear in front of my kids. So our guy, Ira, who does all our digital video here at the studio, will come over and just be swearing in front of me and the kids. And I have to be like, can you shut the fuck up and stop swearing in front of my kids? Like, we don't do that, man. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, what's wrong with you? And maybe, I don't want to go there, but maybe it's a race thing. Maybe he thinks it's cool, but it's not. It ain't cool, Ira. Stop swearing in front of my kids.
You fucking motherfucker.
Fucking motherfucker. The only thing my kids do. You piece of shit, Ira. Fucking asshole. My kids invent. They know they're not supposed to say certain potty words. So Keith just creates his own that are technically not banned. So he just calls his, he just talks about his Tucci all the time. And Tucci is like catch-all word for like any genitalia or butt. So he's just like, shake my Tucci. I can't be like, don't say Tucci. That's a bad word. So that's it's a no cursing policy for us.
That's good, dads. Let's take a break. All right, what do we got here, you know?
All right, we're going to ask Dave that actually doubles into a top five. All right, it's time for an Ask Dave. Remember, you can always send us your questions to AskDave@MajorDomoMedia.com, or our Discord users can just tag at you know with questions, and I'll be sure to read them for a chance to be featured on the show. All right. Hi, Dave. Top five question for you guys. If you had a magical tap in your house that could dispense five liquids at the perfect consistency and temperature, what would you pick? You can do beverages, broth, sauce, anything. Only rule is no chunks or solids. This also assumes all food safety stuff is taken care of. Like, you could pick Hollandaise with no issue. Very interested to hear what y'all would pick. Love the show. Adam S. I'm also going to, guys, add a condition here. No Momofuku goods. Comment to your athletic brain. Sorry for killing the plug party.
Fuck your shit, man. Tell me that. It's my fucking podcast, motherfucker. Say whatever the fuck I want. Tell me what the fuck to do.
It's just five varieties of commentator.
I'll show you what you can fucking put on tap, motherfucker.
Five things. Five magical. All right. You want me to go? Let's try this. Five of any. It doesn't have to be culinary. Just anything.
Just anything. Some liquid.
Okay. The first tap would just dispense molten gold, just money, basically. That's my first tap. Asahi Japanese beer in the second one. Dashi in the third one. It's like a Dovisa Chablis in the fourth one. Some white burgundy straight out of the tap. I don't need five taps. The fifth one would just be like a duck fat KY jelly or a milkshake. Something. I don't know. I don't need a fifth one, man. Just lube. The fifth one is just lube.
Fucking gross, dude.
Don't accidentally pour the fifth one into your wine glass. I mean, if I got one tap that dispenses molten gold, I don't need a fucking two through five.
It's got to be edible.
Oh, it's got to be edible? It's
got to be edible, yeah.
Fine, okay, I'll get rid of my molten gold one. And then I'll just replace it with a milkshake. An edible lube. All right,
off top. What's wrong with you, man?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
At the top of my head, this is what I wrote down. Number one is a pint of something that pours a perfect pint of Guinness.
Oh, nice.
I also put dashi as well. Number three, because what's this guy's name? Adam S. Adam S, go fuck yourself. The third one I choose is Athletic Light. Yes. Tell me, motherfucker, what I can do.
That was me, though, Dave. I was the one who said no plugs. So, yeah.
No, Adam told you. That's how much juice Adam has.
All right, Dashi Athletic Light Guinness. Got two more. I like this question, actually.
I want to choose varietals of Ravenel. Right, I can choose which year I want on that.
Just turn the knob. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and the last one. It's gonna be keeping it real for you, folks. Keeping it real for you, Adam. Hazelnut creamer for your coffee.
If it comes out of the tap, it's not just for your coffee. You can put that on any shit, man. Anything you want. Pancakes, cereal, just a bowl of cereal with hazelnut creamer, man. Anything. That shit's versatile.
He's like, hazelnut creamer. It's so good.
I mean, no lie, man. I love it. I love a sweet coffee.
All right. Taking a break. Let's come back with Moy. This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs, scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing, keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture-raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
What do we got here, you know?
All right, guys. It's been a while since we had a Moif. All right, it's time for My Opinion is Fact, a PTI-like segment where Dave and Chris dish on a variety of topics.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. PTI-like segment?
That's what's I think I wrote that.
PTI
is a Moif-like segment.
A Moif.
Yeah, excuse
Thank you.
Yes. PTI is a Moif-like segment.
This motherfucker here.
The only thing we want to be compared to is the Socratic method. That's the last time there was an innovation like this.
I will update the pre-segment.
Get out of here, man.
Accordingly. Okay. All right. Let's kick it off with the overrated, underrated. Okay. Overrated, underrated. Lasagna.
Properly rated.
I was going to say, how do you characterize the rating of lasagna currently, you know?
Highly rated? You know, generally beloved, a very highly ranked dish.
Yeah. And I think appropriately. So lasagna is great.
Okay.
I will say that the one that I don't like is when people say lasagna and they think that it has ricotta cheese or, you know, ground beef. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't call that lasagna. That's like saying, you know, Americans play, you know, soccer like Real Madrid. You know, it's two different sports here, you know?
What the proper one to you is the bolognese bechamel.
Bolognese.
Yeah, agree.
Just like my Nona used to make.
Just like my Nona used to make, exactly.
But honestly, lasagna, when it's done well, it's great. And even Stouffer's lasagna, which is the ricotta style, is delicious. Like all lasagna is really good, with the exception of the vegetarian ones. But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, lasagna is delightful. And the lasagna is in our house, one of the few secret weapons that still works. The kids will still eat it, and you can still sneak stuff in there.
So next one is, well, it's March soon. So college basketball, overrated, underrated?
Why does it exist?
I find it so incredibly overrated.
I hate it.
I can't watch college basketball.
I hate it so much. I don't like it. I used to love it. You know, college basketball used to be a huge pillar of my life. Georgetown basketball, you know, even when players started going straight from high school, it never really changed, you know, my love of college basketball. NCAA tournament, March Madness was just, life didn't get better than that in a lot of ways, right? I loved it. And over the years, it just stopped. I think the NBA and the fact that the NIL, not that I'm against students making money. I want students to make money, but I think the ability to have no allegiance and to transfer whenever you want, should you, it's not necessarily compelling. You know, it's hard to root for teams. And the best players never stay after 1 year, you know? And it, when you do see a senior that's like all American, you're like, yeah, won't even get drafted in round two. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it takes away a lot of the love of the sport for me. It's hard to root for. You know, I think peak for me, just to date myself, was Randolph Childress and Tim Duncan in his last NCAA tournament. That was just like unbelievable. Wake Forest, you know, ACC, there's not even ACC and there's not even a Big East anymore. So all in, hard for me to really wrap my head around college basketball. I think women's basketball is a whole nother story. I think you're not having the transient nature. And I think in a lot of ways, women's basketball is way more compelling, right? Angel Reese is still on LSU. Caitlin Clark is still on Iowa. And there's a bunch of other players like Paige Buchers is still coming back to UConn, right? So I know this because I read more about sports than watch these days. But at the end of the day, these are players that have been around for 4 years plus. So it's nice to be able to have that continuity. So I'm women's college basketball underrated. Men's college basketball, eliminate.
I second all of that. I mean, I think betting on college basketball is still fun, but that's probably it. I don't like watching it. I don't like following it. Maybe because Cal's so bad, but terrible.
You know, it's totally overrated is USC men's college basketball.
Oh my
team.
God, Trojans be more overrated. Oh.
Brownie this and Brownie that.
Oh, Brownie made a basket. Brownie made a basket.
We have Juju Watkins on our women's team, and our women's team is pretty fucking good this year. So, shout out to USC, Juju Watkins.
We weren't talking about that. We clearly stated that we're pro women's college basketball. Yeah. We're talking about men's. Booty this.
I will say this. I have been forced not to care about men's college basketball this year. It's been rough. So, yeah. But we love you, Bronny. Bronny. Get better soon. Funny. At basketball, please.
You know, it's like go where you peak in your career, like Evan Mobley.
Moving on. All right. So, food style.
Moving on.
You guys hurt.
Aren't me. You a little? You got to be a little disappointed with Mobley.
It hurts me a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
more than a little bit.
You know what should disappoint you more than anything about USC college basketball is that Harold Miner actually never became even remotely mediocre good. Baby Jordan, remember that?
He was like our best player for a little while until DeMar DeRozan. You know, like, and the best basketball player in USC history is actually Reggie's sister, Cheryl Miller. Like,
yeah, she's like one of the greatest of all time. We're still talking about,
but like
Harold Miner, dude.
Harold Miner was like our best player.
You really try to deflect even that. Better,
I really want to move things over to the
even better yet. How could you? You know, you could produce your last greatest miss as OJ Mayo. What a good one!
Oh yeah, OJ Mayo.
OJ Mayo.
Two things. Like, that don't,
how
don't
many
go
people
well
are you gonna? OJ Mayo, one of the, if we haven't lost you guys already, we're about to. Let's just look at OJ Mayo drafted 2008, and he was drafted ahead of, oh geez, that's tough. OJ Mayo drafted ahead of Russell, Kevin Love, Danilo, the Lopez brothers, Ibaka. There's a lot of players that you guys drafted Yeah. OJ Mayo. His game is exactly like how you would think that those food combinations would go together.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Disgusting.
Anyway, let's go.
Let's move on with the Moif. Food styling. And this is, you guys are doing a live show. So like overrated or underrated food styling?
I have friends that are food stylists. Yeah, I think we need them.
I'm going to say dramatically underrated food styling. I think if you're somebody who watches food on social media and you think you like certain things, you like whatever, what you really like is food styling. if you follow all food media and you think you like certain foods, really what you like is food styling. And I think like food styling, it might be surprising because we don't like to use it. Dave is the anti food styling, but I think as far as rating things, people don't rate food styling highly because they don't realize that everything they're consuming food wise is styled and manipulated and sprayed with glue. So I think it's underrated.
I think it's underrated when done well. I think overrated in the fact that everyone's a food stylist and they don't know jack shit.
It's pretty true. Good. All right. Breakfast burritos, overrated, underrated.
I'm going to say underrated, but it's not something I can eat. I used to be able to eat like two breakfast burritos when younger to soak up all that alcohol that my liver didn't process. And now it's putting me into like a deep sleep. Like I'm getting ready for like a interspace travel. You know,
like I'm out. Ready for the long sleep, the 7-year sleep to get to Mars.
Yeah.
This will carry you over for the charity, Mr. Change.
That's really funny. I'm going to go out on a, but you think they're underrated still, you said.
Well, here's the deal. A good breakfast burrito, underrated. And a lot of the places that people say are great are not actually the good ones, just FYI. There's a lot of places that sell breakfast burritos and it's not good. So it's what I would say is hard to find an actually good breakfast burrito. And when you do, it's pretty special.
I'm going to say this, you know. This might seem hypocritical, but I'm going to try to talk my way through this. As somebody who's eaten an incredible amount of breakfast burritos, I think they are overrated. I just ate one this morning and did not enjoy it. And one of my favorite foods in the entire world is machaca. Have you had machaca? It's like dried, shredded beef that it's Spanish, I think, in origin, but it is popular in Mexico. Cooked with eggs and jalapeno peppers and onions. And that is like a super standard breakfast food. I grew up eating it at Mexican restaurants in Southern California. And that is one of my favorite things in the entire world. So I eat that all the time in burrito form. But I think the breakfast burrito that is the standard American breakfast burrito is not good. And I think I'll eat with chorizo and potato and I will an egg and that kind of thing. I don't like a breakfast burrito. And I'm admitting this to myself that it's like bacon or American sausage or whatever it is. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it with Red Bliss potatoes in there. I don't like any of it.
The key to a breakfast burrito, in my opinion, and this is the only time I actually even endorse this potato product, is you can't do it with a breakfast hash brown. You got to do it with tater tots.
That's the only way.
And not only that, the tater tots, you're not serving them in tater tot form. On the griddle, you're chopping the shit out of it. So it's more like a crumble. And in that crumble, you need to be putting a brunoise of jalapenos.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
You laugh, but the brunoise of jalapenos is important. Mm-hmm. Because it needs to disperse in that, you know, the mess that is there, right? So you also need to take those tater tots to the brink of being cold. You know, it's like before. It's got to be so crunchy. The issue with most breakfast burritos is besides the it's just too homogenized. It's like, you know, going to school in Connecticut. It's like, it's just too much the same thing.
I think, tell me if you agree with this, Dave. I think the amount of egg that goes into a breakfast burrito should be just enough to hold the stuff together.
It's just, you know how, you know, my golf instructor used to always tell me, when you hold a golf club, it's like you're holding a baby's hand, right? Just enough.
That's right. Just enough.
And the egg is just enough to hold the, to literally be like this. It's like Bruce Lee says, like water, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It's got to find the holes and the crevices between and the crevasses.
Yes.
Exactly.
I don't want a fucking log of scrambled egg. That's the last thing I want to eat. I don't want to eat that.
It's got to just weave its way in like water.
Beautiful.
Throughout the caverns of a breakfast burrito.
Just a ribbon and of
in
egg.
Between.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Hard to do. But when you assemble it together, like a real griddled master that makes breakfast burritos knows about how to like fold in that egg, when you wrap it all together, it's just as like, it's a underrated burrito makers that are breakfast burrito is the hardest form of burrito making, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they try to make them big and bulky and fill them out with egg. I don't want that. Make me two small ones. I'll eat two small ones. That's the way.
You need a lot of texture. It's got to be a lot of texture. And also, like, I'm not a fan of bacon in my breakfast burrito.
100%.
Wow.
It's got to be sausage. And it doesn't have, it could be a link sausage, it could be broken sausage, whatever, but bacon doesn't chew well, right? When you take it out of it. And yeah, you could chop it up, that's fine, but very few people are going to chop it up. Usually you find breakfast burritos with a whole, like two or three just, you know, strips of bacon in there. That doesn't work, right? I think it's all about textural contrast. You want to take that texture to the, like, again, crunchy as bit possible, because once you do wrap it up, that moisture starts to, like, it's a war, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm 100%. I think no bacon. I would take ham over bacon, but sausage overall.
Sausage is the one filler to rule them all. All right.
I would also,
but the spice is important.
I was just gonna say,
and don't give me any pico de gallo bullshit. No pico de gallo. It's like the only thing that you can put on there is like Cholula hot sauce or something like that, yeah. Or Momofuku chili crunch. You like that, Adam S?
Again, just to be very clear, Adam S did not ban any sort of plugs in the show. I think that 95% of American style breakfast burritos could be spicier, maybe 98%.
And don't go to a place that puts pickled jalapenos in. It's got to be a fresh jalapeno. Mm. Mm. And when I say Brunoise, it's fucking Brunoise. Mm.
In my beloved Machaca burrito, it is tons of jalapeno, but it is in strips. And I like that as well, but lots of jalapeno.
And the cheese also has to get crunchy. Mm. Mm. Do you know?
On the griddle.
Do you? I don't think you know. I don't think you know what I'm talking about. I don't think you can handle it.
A little frico in my burrito.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom. In IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
That are underrated move.
A what?
A bang bang. It's when you go to one restaurant, you go to another one.
I think you go to two different restaurants. I think referring to the act of going to two different restaurants as a bang bang or any sort of name is overrated. That is just, yeah. Am I hungry still? Did I spend a lot of money on this menu and I'm still a little hungry and I need to eat some more food? That's just life. That's just life.
No, here's the deal. I'll tell you, there's a place where I live where I pick up my prescriptions because I take so many goddamn prescriptions, right? In it, there is a sushi thing that's not like a crappy sushi thing. That's where all the younger kids go. And next to it is a Habit Grill. And next to it is a local pizzeria that is just okay, right? Average. But they sell slices of pizza next to all this other stuff. There's also a Chipotle that I've never been to. But within that, I will either, if I go to get like some onigiri or some like spicy tuna rolls, I know that order is going to be about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, usually very busy. I will order. Then on then sometimes I'll use the Habit Burger app, or don't laugh, dude. That's why I don't come up with stupid fucking names like Bang Bang. This is how you fucking live your life, man.
This is a bing bong.
When you live this life, yeah. When you choose this life, you do it as best you can, you know?
This is called efficiency.
I'm ready to commit to Habit Burger app. That's like another level of like,
what does that take to download the app?
It's not even a Habit Burger app. It's like going to DoorDash or Postmates and just pre-ordering and pick up, right? Or I'll go there and I'll order it. And you know what I've been eating quite a bit that I've been enjoying is the Santa Barbara char on lettuce, animal style. I mean, just on a protein style.
What's the Santa Barbara char?
It's just two burgers with like bacon and guacamole, I think. I don't even know what's in it.
Like protein style with like just lettuce?
Protein style. But there, I would say outside of Jersey Mike's, which I haven't had in a while, Jersey Mike's. No. What's the other one that everyone, what's the sub shop that everyone loves?
Jimmy John's?
Jimmy John's lettuce stuff is awesome, right? Their lettuce wrap stuff is very good. Their protein style. But the Habit, I gotta say, Habit protein style.
Interesting.
It's on another level, man.
You know
they
what?
They give you so much crispy lettuce. It's like, it's amazing. I don't understand how they do it. And the hot burger is very good. I endorse that. You don't have to get the Santa Barbara char either.
Is there a Bang Bang style name for what I'm doing right now, which is ordering one of these while we're recording this podcast?
But I gotta get it there, right? That's another burger that you can't get delivered. You gotta eat it there. Here's what I do. Here's my loop.
Lettuce wrap.
Occasionally, I might get a slice at the pizza shop, but I've been trying to avoid that as of late. So I order my nori. I mean, I order my spicy tuna roll. Then I will pick up, or sometimes, again, order it in person, and they have a nice kiosk, or you can use an app, get my Santa Barbara. Then I will walk across the street, go to my pharmacy, pick up my prescription.
Pop a couple Lipitor.
Come back. Pick up some of the spicy tuna roll for my family. Yeah. I might have an onigiri, right? Yep. As the delivery fee.
Yep.
Right?
The tip.
And because here's the deal. This is why it's a smart move. Because the spicy tuna roll is warm, I'm not pressed to get it home. You understand? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can now sit in my car and have some quality DC time and eat my Santa Barbara char wrapped in lettuce, iceberg lettuce. And it's the highlight, oftentimes the highlight of my year when I do that.
Yeah.
I've picked up everything. I picked up food for my family. I picked up my drugs. And now I'm having a meditative, contemplative experience in my car.
Just taking care of number one. I got you. And that, there's no name for that. There's no bang bang, bing bong, boom boom. That's surviving, man.
Yeah. I don't need no bang bang bullshit. Tell me how to eat and live my life.
Calling that a bang bang is like, there's a triple double in basketball. Is there a name for when you just score 2 points and one rebound and no assists? Like, you know, there's no fucking name for just the bare minimum of achievement. Like, that's just playing the game.
Listen, when you're a professional eater, you're playing at another level, man. Right? I don't need some stupid kid's name. tell me how I play.
Chris, I think 2 points and one rebound is just a putback. All right, so an overrated, underrated is Jollibee. Last one, Jollibee, overrated, underrated.
For the record, I've never been to a Jollibee.
Wow.
You know why? I refuse to eat ketchup spaghetti.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I figured.
I've heard that fried chicken's fine. Great. But I'm not. I don't give a listen. I'm sure it's fine. And I know it's the national fast food chain of the Philippines. And the only reason I'm doing this is not because I dislike it. I'm sure I'd love it a lot. But on principle, I will never go to any kind of fast food establishment that sells pasta.
Oh. Interesting. Wait, what's the rationale
here? I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's that's a very strong statement, and I'm trying to poke a hole, and I don't know if I can poke the hole.
No, why? What am I going to get there that is so revelatory?
No pasta or noodles. You would eat a Panda Express noodle.
That's not... I said pasta.
Oh, excuse me, pasta. A Western noodle.
Western noodle. I said pasta, dude.
Yes, excuse me. Italian noodles. Fine. I mean, you won't even patronize an establishment that serves it, even if you don't order it.
A fast food place? No.
I like Zippy's in Hawaii.
No.
I like chili Zippy's spaghetti.
Oh, yeah.
What am I going to do?
No.
I like
no.
it. I like shitty spaghetti.
No, I'm not. I'm out. No. I don't care.
Holy shit.
He just objects to the pasta not being al dente.
He needs to. How about
you, Jollibee, overrated, underrated, though?
I want to front here, but I've been to Jollibee like one time. And there's one at near the Target by our house, and I don't go. I don't know what keeps me away. It's not the spaghetti, but I don't know. So I don't have enough.
I think I've had the fried chicken there, and I believe it was delicious.
Yeah, the fried chicken.
And I do know the fried chicken's good there.
I think it's got one of the world's great names for a chain. I love that name. I love the little, is their logo a little bee?
It looks like Bob's Big Boy.
Yeah, like the little the little Bob's Big Bee is cute.
But I'm just not going to go. If I had a container of spaghetti, no.
I'll say
it makes me so mad just thinking about it.
The pictures of the spaghetti don't do it any favors, I will say that. It does not look good at all in the pictures.
It's a hard pass. No. So Jollibee, here's the deal. Once you get rid of your pasta, I will visit your establishment many times.
Holy shit. That's like a lot of people's favorite dish there. Moving on. Fuck, marry, kill.
Why?
No, in the Philippines, it's so popular. Like Jollibee spaghetti is like a birthday dish for a lot of kids. Like that's like their thing. So it's very sweet. I will say that. And they use like banana ketchup, I believe. So,
ugh,
come on,
dude. I'm looking at this photo right now. No. Never.
The photo looks really bad.
Oh man.
It's like
there's a photo. There's a photo I'm looking at right now of a Jollibee bucket of fried chicken next to a peach mango pie that looks like a beautiful, decadent, delicious McDonald's inspired fried pie. And those two amazing things are next to a hot pile of garbage.
I don't, the pictures on the Jollibee website of the spaghetti looks like it's like an alabaster white pile of noodles with like
some every plastic. Time, every time you see this awesome looking fried chicken, they ruin it with a side of spaghetti.
It just looks like the plastic food in the window of a Japanese restaurant. It does not look good.
Look, I'm looking at it right now. look at this. It looks like it's such an awesome cup of gravy. You know what I mean? A peach mango pie, delicious. And this chicken drumette, delicious. And then like a French fry cup of spaghetti. No, absolutely not.
Hey, well, just really quick. I've never heard this. Dave, what is your opinion, last bonus moif, of the sort of plastic or whatever acrylic molded foods you see in front of Japanese restaurants?
I used to collect them.
Really? Like, what did you have? Mm-hmm.
When I lived there, that was one of the cheap things I could buy. And I would go to Kapabashi and just buy as many of them as I could.
I think they're cool.
They were so realistic. And I would give them out as gifts. And then again, I think I had a whole box of them. And I think they got destroyed in Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah. But they're pretty cool.
They're, I think, more than cool.
It would be cool. Has anybody offered to make like Momofuku versions?
But one time I wanted to serve like an onsen. They have like a really good onsen tamago. I had it as a magnet fridge and wanted to put that in a bowl of soup.
Just to trick somebody.
So real. Yeah.
I like that too. Anyway.
All right, folks. Great episode. Thanks for listening. Check out all of our new content. If you're polyamorous or if you are, you know, in a monogamous relationship.
We cater to all flavors.
Listen. It's okay. It's okay. We love you regardless. Especially Chris.
Oh man, I'm polystreamerous as hell.
All right. See you guys.